This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, for those of you around the country and around the world. It probably doesn't take much for you to simply remember or for you to seek out your nearest Hooters location for football viewing or even some holiday fun. For those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area, 12 original Hooters brand locations for you to choose from. Of course, I have my favorites where we've had Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast events with the lovely Ty and Brooke, Hooters girls and calendar girls at the Hillsborough Avenue location, and Rain at the 4th Street North location in St. Pete, where even manager Tony plays in our podcast league. Let's find out more about Hooters.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is also presented by the Eagles Golf Club, an annual stop on the Todd Wright Tour, and it will be the first stop in calendar year 2019. My 18th event will be the third installment of Good versus Evil. Nine holes as hard as I can make them, nine holes as easy as I can make them. We score them as separate tournaments. Always a popular event. It will go on sale soon. And we will be playing it at the Eagles Golf Club on the Lakes Course. There are 36 holes of semi-private gated community golf at the Eagles Golf Club on the fringe of Oldsmar in Odessa, Florida, for you to enjoy. And please do not be scared off by semi-private or gated community. They are very open and accessible to public play, public tee times. And for those of you who have asked this question of me in the past, when I have my golf tournaments at stay and play, semi-private, or private properties, no, you don't need to be a member to play in my event. That's the idea. I'm giving you a much easier opportunity to play these courses. So remember, Super Bowl Saturday, we play Good versus Evil, Part 3, at the Eagles Golf Club, first Saturday of February. For more information, just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. All right, for this podcast, we not only look at some things as I record this before the Monday night game, expected to be a fantasy fest with so many of the most explosive players of the year going tonight with Chiefs and Rams. So I won't have any comments on those players or that game because of the timing of taping this podcast on Monday morning. We'll look back a little bit, and we'll look ahead to the Thanksgiving Day games, always the early game in Detroit, the afternoon game in Dallas, Arlington, and then the late game rotates, and the late game features one of the hottest fantasy teams out there, if you have a piece of that action, in the New Orleans Saints hosting the struggling Atlanta Falcons. First, let's talk about Gus Edwards. As here with 2 weeks left in your regular season, the search is generally always on for running backs, and Gus Edwards will be front and center. Reading off BaltimoreRavens.com via RotoWorld, John Harbaugh saying Edwards, quote, took the bull by the horns. In Sunday's win against the Cincinnati Bengals, where the Ravens had to get creative with their game plan because they did not have a traditional quarterback. They used Lamar Jackson. Lamar did more on the ground than he did through the air, and it was supplemented by a powerful performance, sort of an old school, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was more than 3 yards most of the time, for Gus Edwards to get 115 yards rushing to add to Lamar Jackson's total. Career, 64 yards on 15 carries. As BaltimoreRavens.com writes, it remains unclear if this was a blip or the start of Edwards taking over the job from Alex Collins. I wouldn't necessarily think that, but one of the things we talked about on a previous podcast was how, with the Ravens being so vague about their quarterback situation, it made all Ravens a very volatile play. You didn't really know where anything was going. So I didn't play John Brown as a result of that. I hedged on Justin Tucker. I only played Justin Tucker because the Ravens were at home and they were up against a Cincinnati Bengal team that is reeling on defense. I felt, the Ravens should still be able to move the ball, probably on the ground more because of Lamar Jackson's talents, and that'll give Tucker some field goal opportunities. But I took Tucker for the first time all year out of a lineup in one league and picked up Matt Bryant, who was active and healthy and back doing his thing for what is normally the high-scoring Atlanta Falcons, but it actually worked out because the Falcons only got in the end zone one time with Julio Jones. The rest was Matt Bryant, and he is 100% healthy. So, yes, I would say Gus Edwards is worth picking up, as is Lamar Jackson going forward. There's more than a few people who believe – there's no reason to believe Lamar Jackson – isn't going to continue to play for the Ravens, at least going forward here. They invested a late number one draft pick in him. It certainly appeared from some of the video of just Flacco walking into the stadium as Flacco was on crutches earlier in the week that Flacco was never a serious consideration to start this game. I doubt much changes in just 1 week. The Ravens might want to know what they have in Lamar Jackson. Just monitor it this week. But yes, Gus Edwards, worth rostering. And if you didn't already, Lamar Jackson worth rostering just because in virtually every fantasy league, quarterbacks get more points per rushing yard than they do per passing yard, which makes Lamar Jackson a commodity. So especially next week, remember, Rams and Chiefs are on bye. So for those of you that have been riding the wave of Mahomes and Goff and Todd Gurley and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Brandon Cooks, you don't have them next week. So with in your penultimate regular season finale, you don't have those guys. So if you're looking for plug and plays, yeah, a Lamar Jackson, because the value of those rushing yards is worth rostering. Just to have, and then sort of follow the news as the week goes on. For those of you that lost Alex Smith, granted, not an exciting fantasy play, but in two quarterback leagues especially, Alex Smith was someone who I would say in two quarterback leagues was playing about 80% of the time. Broken leg for Alex Smith, Colt McCoy takes over. This isn't a drop off the end of the earth, as it is for some teams when they go from a highly paid quarterback to the backup. Colt McCoy, I do think, has some two quarterback league fantasy value, and or for those of you that, again, are looking for a plug and play or a DFS play on Thanksgiving, a Colt McCoy is a bargain. Or someone you might be able to plug and play against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys on a bit of a run. They actually have won back-to-back games, and who knows? Maybe there's this sense in the room with the Cowboys that if they can actually beat Washington head-to-head, even up that series, remember they let the previous game against the Redskins get away at the end on a missed field goal. They would split the season series. Redskins would no longer have the tiebreaker. And they're thinking, well, they're down from the quarterback they wanted. They're vulnerable now. Maybe it's our division to win. Because Philadelphia looked awful. Granted, the Saints look as good as anybody, but the Eagles look brutal against the Saints recently. So somebody has to win the NFC East. Dallas right now looks like the team that might want to take the division over. Are they going to roll off five in a row? Probably not. But we'll talk about the Thursday games here coming up. One of the strengths of the Cowboys And it worked against the Falcons, obviously, other than on the Julio Jones touchdown. Cowboys came into last Sunday, not the Bears. Okay, talk about great defenses, and the Bears played great defense against the Vikings the other night. Cowboys had given up the fewest plays of over 20 yards in the NFL this year. So take that for what it's worth, but Colt McCoy, I'd say Colt McCoy has more fantasy value than, you know, a handful of other young starting quarterbacks, and you know he's going to be the starter against the Cowboys. Again, we'll get to the Thanksgiving games here in a moment and go one by one in those. I have talked in the past about Tre'Quan Smith and how he was roster-worthy weeks ago. He, of course, caught the record-breaking pass from Drew Brees, which seems like a long time ago. But Tre'Quan Smith it was an interesting game plan for Sean Payton on against the Eagles. Not only did the Saints just bury the Eagles, but if you noticed, it was more Ingram than Kamara, and it was more Smith than Michael Thomas. By design, I think so. Sean Payton also wants to make sure that everyone's involved for when he really needs them down the road, as Sean and Drew Brees have to think, especially after last year's disappointment of the Minneapolis Miracle. This is their shot to win another Super Bowl together. It's been 9 years since they won Super Bowl 44 over the Indianapolis Colts. But Tre'Quan Smith, 13 targets, turned him into 10 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown. All right, let's spin forward to the Thanksgiving Day games as best we can. Again, we're posting this on Monday morning, so please be checking status of injuries and other things, because I'm not going to be able to get you another podcast to preview the Thanksgiving slate. This is what we do, and then we'll have another one after Thanksgiving to look ahead to the Sunday game. So let's start, obviously, with the Bear game against the Lions. Let me pull up my trusty fantasy app as it relates to some of the players in that particular game. The latest, first of all, let's start on the Lions side with Kerryon Johnson with what looked like a significant enough injury where he probably isn't going to play this week. So if Kerryon Johnson was someone, let's say you have Kerryon Johnson, but you don't use him every week, but you own Todd Gurley or your own Kareem Hunt, you're not going to have Kerryon Johnson for Thursday. So I'd pretty much rule him out. And Blunt and Riddick will obviously be most likely to get his snaps. Of course, right as I'm doing a live podcast, some of the things that I plan to pull up via a trusty fantasy football app to reference some numbers and otherwise, and the server goes down. All right, well, we'll press on. So no Kerryon Johnson. Blunt, I'd say more of a DFS type play. Again, the Lions are going up against the Bears. So as far as that's concerned, I think points are going to be at a premium anyway. Riddick might be more the catch option out of the backfield for the Lions. I mean, he's been okay, but I think he's more of a DFS play than anything else. Stafford had a better game over the weekend against the Panthers. Still one of the more disappointing performers in fantasy football this year. The Bears is not a get-right spot for Matt Stafford, obviously, with the way the Bears play defense and get after quarterbacks. Marvin Jones might be able to go. Wasn't able over the weekend against Carolina, which meant plenty more for Kenny Galladay. I would say, even against the Bears, yeah. Kenny Galladay, probably more than any other member of the Detroit Lions, is someone who you're getting in your lineup because you would certainly assume the Lions are going to be playing from behind, and Galladay might be the only or slash best option for the Lions to move the ball down the field. From the Bears' standpoint, you know, we mentioned how Sean Payton in Sunday's game against the Eagles used more Ingram than Kamara, used more Smith than Thomas. The way the Bears beat the Vikings was interesting because it wasn't like any one guy had a big game. Tariq Cohen, very minimal game. Jordan Howard, second game in a row, Jordan Howard was more active than Cohen. Cohen just didn't get loose. But Trubisky still got his rushing yards coming into last week's second most productive rushing quarterback in the National Football League. A week after Allen Robinson had the two touchdowns, he significantly dropped off. You didn't see a lot of Trey Burton. They just activated Shaheen, who was, what, their second-round pick from a year before. That's kind of what you got with the Bears. I mean, it's an exciting offense, and it's working. And Trubisky, 2 months ago, looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL and no one you wanted to touch in fantasy football. And now he's a consistent QB1 type play. Whether it's Robinson or whether it's Burton or whether it's Cohen, this is one of those where I used to say, make sure you have a piece. I don't know each week. We don't know who the explosive player is from the running back, tight end, and wide receiver position. So it's nice to have those guys, but the floor varies based on what what Nagy is doing with the game plan. Sorry, I was looking down at Jakeem Grant undergoing season-ending surgery and thinking of Adam Gase, who likely will have a new job next year, much like Mike McCarthy will, John Harbaugh, Todd Bowles, Dirk Cutter, etc. All right, so that's the first game as far as it relates to fantasy for Bears and Lions. Let's move to the afternoon game. We've sort of already touched on it, Redskins and Cowboys. From the Redskins standpoint, you're definitely playing Adrian Peterson. I mean, you have two high-volume traditional traditional ground productive running backs in this game in Adrian Peterson and Ezekiel Elliott. The force-feeding of Amari Cooper didn't happen as much, even in the Cowboys win against the Falcons. Dak Prescott was fantasy-worthy. I'd say in two quarterback leagues, yeah, you can consider using Dak. Or, you know, as we talked about last week, I got some questions on Dak as it related to plug and play for Tom Brady owners. Well, this week coming up, it's Goff and Mahomes owners. So from a Dak standpoint, yeah, I can see it because there's always the threat he's going to give you a rushing touchdown as it relates to Prescott. And again, Cowboys with two wins in a row. But Cooper's targets and his overall numbers were down. It was a lot of Ezekiel Elliott and a strong enough game by the Cowboy defense to keep Atlanta from scoring, because Matt Ryan's been a very productive fantasy quarterback. But the numbers were down. They relied on a lot of Matt Bryan field goals. And in the end, Dallas had the ball last and was actually able to convert. So there's not a lot to really like in your season-long leagues about Cowboys and Redskins. I guess in two quarterback leagues, if you need to get by with Dak Prescott and Colt McCoy, you might be able to do that. You're definitely playing Adrian Peterson and Ezekiel Elliott. Maurice Harris's production dropped off this past week in the Redskins game against the Texans for some reason. I love Jay Gruden. Harris had been productive in the slot, and then they moved him outside, and his numbers went down. Why would you move him? That's where he was productive. So I don't get it. Maybe they move him back inside. Some guy named Trey Quinn or something was playing on the inside. From Dallas, I still think, you know, if you're playing Amari Cooper, I get it. From a daily standpoint, there's a lot of wild cards in this game that'll be interesting for tournament purposes. But other than Elliott and Peterson, not a lot to really get excited about fantasy-wise. In the late game with Saints and Falcons, we just touched on it. Saints coming off a game where they could have hung another 50-burger on the Eagles. They didn't. But it was more Ingram than Kamara, and it was more Smith than Thomas. Expect it to flip back to Kamara, back to Michael Thomas. Kamara still got in the end zone. Thomas, I believe, still got in the end zone. Let me look at Michael Thomas's numbers real quick. 92 yards and a touchdown. So as far as the Saints are concerned, and yes, might want to get Traquan Smith in the lineup. Remember, the Falcons are a team that can be significantly exploited by running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. So that screams Alvin Kamara for New Orleans, and to a lesser extent, Mark Ingram. From the Falcons standpoint, who at this point kind of feels like they're playing out the season, 2 years removed from being up 28-3 in a Super Bowl, and last year winning a playoff game at Los Angeles. Remember that? In the opening round of the National Football League playoffs. Matt Ryan's been great all year. The Saints defense that gave up so much early in the season has really tightened up. I still think you're playing Matt Ryan in this game. You're obviously still playing Julio Jones. And Tevin Coleman gets a lot of work, although you're always worried about him being off the field for Ito Smith at key times. But that's about it. In recent weeks, the ability to just throw Hooper in there or Mohamed Sanu in there and get enough and think it was a nice plug and play, it seems to be gone. So we're cooling on the Falcons a little bit, while at the same time we're not stupid and we're still playing Ryan, we're playing Jones, and then you're playing Tevin Coleman, especially if you have Coleman and you own Hunt or Gurley. Coleman is a very nice option for you to have just from a volume standpoint in what's expected to be a game where Atlanta is going to need to score at least, 30 or more to try to keep up with the Saints. Again, send me all your questions about your own leagues, and feel free to send me DFS questions as well. Primarily this year, I've been playing DFS in single game format, the showdown format with the captain, getting a paying more for a captain, but getting a higher percentage of points. I did very well with that in the NBA playoffs. I haven't done as well with the NFL, but still, I find it fun to play because I like to watch the big games, and that's a way to do it. But any of your season-long or DFS questions, you can email me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters and sponsored by the Eagles Golf Club, which will host the first Todd Wright Tour event of 2019.